That is how God speaks to us today, beloved.
Hard one.
We think about happy thoughts and try to have a good time on Thanksgiving and then give thanks to your friends or the food that you eat or anything.
Okay, very good. And you had an answer, I know.
You think of things that you're thankful for.
Think of things that are good, right? You have an answer to that?
Like when you hurt someone, you forgive him.
Oh, very good. Very good. If you forgive, you could forgive, and there's... Oh, you have an answer to that?
Yeah.
Hey. He wants the microphone, Marianne.
Hey. How about when there's a sneaky monster on your bed?
And that's something you could be thankful for, right? Uh-huh. Okay. You know what? Here's what we're going to learn today, okay? You got something you're thankful for? Go ahead.
And thank you for candy.
There's a repeating monster candy theme here. I like it. Here's what we're going to learn today, okay? Even when things are not good, God is still good. Right? God is still good. It was still the easy answer. It was still God, Jesus, the Bible. Right? God is still good. Jesus is still good. His word is still good. And so, yes, you had the right answer. We come back to God and what is good, and we can still give thanks. All right, let's pray together. You ready? Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks. We pray for these kids. We thank you for them. I'm thankful so much that they're here. Thankful for their moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas who bring them. We pray your blessing upon them and Children's Church, and bless our time in your holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Off you go, either back to mom and dad or to Children's Church, either way. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and open to Psalm 107. And as you open there, Psalm 107, let me say, this is a long psalm, and this is a Lord's Table Sunday. What that means is, as I read it, you're going to have to pay close attention. I will not cover all of the verses, but I want you to see the main thing. We actually will give a special attention to the very last verse. Psalm 107, a psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hungry for thanksgiving. That's what this writer was. That's what we should be. Hungry for thanksgiving. I do not mean hungry for turkey and stuffing and gravy and potatoes, as good as those things are. The writer of this psalm was hungry, desiring strongly that men and women would give thanks to God like he deserves. That men and women would give thanks to God always for his wonderful works to the sons of men. The writer of this psalm was hungry for thanksgiving. Look at all the ways he demonstrates his hunger for thanks. First, he commands it. Notice verse 1. Verse 1, Psalm 107, he says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." That is the only command in the psalm. Give thanks. Give thanks to God. He commands it. And then from verse 1 all the way down to verse 42, he makes his case. First the command for thanksgiving, then the case for thanksgiving. All of these verses are the psalmist's case, making his case to all who would hear, that we all should give thanks always to God for his wonderful works to the sons of men. His case consists of explanations for why God deserves thanks and examples. Examples of how it is that God, even when things are at their worst, God is at his best, redeeming unworthy sinners. Notice as he makes his case, first his explanations. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he's good. That means he's good in all his ways. He's good in all our days. Always good. Good all the time. Just like you see or hear in movies, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. That's what he's saying. For he is good, and what else? His mercy endures forever. His mercy is the word chesed. Chesed. That's the Hebrew word. It's the word for God's special love which he bestows on the redeemed. Like the love of a husband for his wife. A special love. And his mercy endures forever. He says in verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Redeemed means the Lord pays a price to redeem or deliver certain people out of bondage into freedom. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from four corners, from the east, or literally from the sunrise, and from the west, from the north, and literally from the sea. What follows are four examples of the Lord's goodness to the sons of men. The first is an example of how the Lord delivered those who were lost. That's in verses 4 to 9. The example of the Lord's redemption of the lost. Then in verses 10 through 16, the Lord's redemption of prisoners, those who are bound and afflicted because of their sin. In verses 17 to 22, the Lord's redemption of fools who were suffering because of their own folly, but the Lord delivered them. And then his redemption of sailors, strangely enough. Which of these doesn't seem to fit? People who were lost, people who were bound and afflicted, people who were fools, and then sailors. Why sailors? Verses 23 to 32. They too needed to be brought to their wits' end, to the end of their own wisdom. In every case, as the psalmist gives these examples, deliverance of the lost, of prisoners, of fools, and sailors. In every case, the psalmist shows, listen, the psalmist shows that in every case, men never humbled themselves before the Lord. They never called upon him for deliverance until they came to the end of themselves. It was not until their soul had fainted within them. Verse 5. It was not until they fell down and there was no one else to help. Verse 12. It was not until they drew near and literally touched the gates of death. Verse 18. It was not until their cold, hard souls had melted within them. Verse 26. Not until they came to wits' end. Verse 27. Did these men humble themselves and call upon him? And yet, in every case, when men came to the end of their own way and called upon the Lord, in every case, whoever called upon the name of the Lord was saved. In every case. The lost he led forward on the right way until they came to a city to dwell in. Verse 7. Those in the shadow of death he brought out of darkness and out of the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds asunder. Those fools who were suffering from their own folly, he sent his word to them and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Verse 20. And the sailors, upon whom he brought a storm himself, that they might go up and come down and come to the end of themselves, he calmed the storm, stilled the waves, guided them to their desired haven. Verses 29 and 30. This is the case that the psalmist makes for thanksgiving. First he commands it, oh, give thanks. Then he explains it. The Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. And then he proves it by illustration from the east, from the west, from the north, and even from the sea. And all along the way, he keeps saying, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Verse 21, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It's like saying, give it up for God. Verse 32, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. Oh, that people, when they're gathered together, would freely give praise to God. Why would he have to make a case? Why would he have to give a command? Because it is not our nature to give thanks to God. It doesn't come naturally. This psalmist is hungry for thanksgiving. so hungry that the people around him and that he himself would all join voices together and give praise and thanks to God like he deserves. And to that end, he commands it. To that end, he makes his case. His case is first a few explanations, then some examples, and then an explanation of God's sovereignty in the affairs of men. This is in verses 33 and following. Notice what he says. In verse 33, he turns rivers into a wilderness, water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. Why? Because of the wickedness of those who dwell therein. In other words, our Lord sometimes acts according to his holy justice. He gives men just what they deserve. Well, not quite. Why? Because what he does because of the wickedness of those who dwell in the land is he brings a curse upon the land that men might come to the end of themselves and an end of their wickedness. On the other hand, what does God do? Verse 35, he turns a wilderness into pools of water. That's blessing. He turns a dry land into water springs. Blessing. There he makes the hungry dwell that they might establish a city for a dwelling place and sow seeds and plant vineyards. All pictures of blessing. God curses and he blesses. This is the way God works. God acts according to justice and according to mercy, grace. Why? Because in none of these cases do men ever deserve God's blessing. In no case in this psalm will you see that men finally did enough good to deserve the grace and blessing of Almighty God. So the psalmist is hungry for thanksgiving. He makes his case. He gives a command. And then he says this, verse 42. The righteous see it. Now the righteous are not those who are righteous by their deeds. The righteous throughout the Old Testament and the New are the righteous by, say it, faith. Very good. The righteous are the righteous by faith. Those whose faith is in the Lord. They, what does the verse say? Verse 42. They see. They see. What do the righteous see? On the one hand, the righteous see what everyone else sees and what you see and I see, what everyone sees on the evening news. Trouble. Distress. The word distress is repeated over and over again in every example I just read. The righteous see what everybody else sees. They see distress to the north. Oh, a lot of trouble up north, you know. They see distress out east. The Middle East. The Far East. Is there not distress? They see trouble in the west. Oh, there's trouble in the west. They see trouble out on the sea and to the south. Everywhere you look, there is distress and trouble. But that's not all the righteous see. See, those who are unrighteous, they see half the picture. The trouble, distress, tragedy, storms at sea, people lost and dying of starvation in the wilderness, they see all that. But the righteous see that it's then, walk back through the psalm, that it's then, notice verse 6, then they cried out. Notice verse 13, then they cried out. Notice verse 19, then they cried out. Notice verse 28. Then they cry out. The righteous see that it is only in the depth of man's distress when he's nearing to death that he will humble himself and call upon the Lord to be saved. Who does that? Who brings sinners to the end of themselves that they might see their need for a Savior? The Lord. The Lord does that. The righteous see it And what do? Verse 42. And they rejoice. Even in the midst of the distress, even in the midst of the trouble, the righteous by faith, those who believe, they see what everyone else sees, the bad news, but they also see what others don't see, the good news, that the Lord is good all the time, and that His mercy is forever. You know what that means? His mercies are new every morning, of every day, of every week, of every year, and in every generation. The righteous see this and rejoice. And what else happens? Verse 42. And all iniquity stops its mouth. You know what iniquity says? Here's what iniquity says. The Lord is not good. That's what iniquity says. Iniquity thinks because things are bad or because bad things happen, God must be bad. Why? Well, because if God was good, He would not allow the bad. That's what iniquity thinks. And because iniquity thinks that way, people go headlong into iniquity. But the righteous see this and rejoice. And when it says all iniquity, it probably means all iniquity in those who see this shuts up, so that nothing is left but thanks. Why was this psalmist so hungry for thanksgiving? And by the way, I think he was not only hungry that thanks would be given in this life, I think he was hungry for Thanksgiving Day. And I don't mean the fourth Thursday in November. The psalmist was hungry for the day when all the redeemed would be gathered together to the Lord, delivered from the hand of the enemy. And gathered before Him, he was hungry for the day when all the redeemed together would say that the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Why was he so hungry for that? Because he knows that those who see the Lord's goodness and mercy, even in times of trouble, they rejoice, and all the iniquity in them ceases. No more blaspheming God. No more accusing God. No more claiming that God must be at fault for all the distress we see in the world. No, because that's not true. This psalmist was hungry for Thanksgiving Day, the ultimate Thanksgiving Day. To that end, he gives a command in verse 1. To that end, he makes his case in verses 1 through 42. And then he asks this question. Verse 43 is actually a question. If you have a New American Standard Bible, it shows it that way. It's in the Hebrew, a question. Who is wise? That's the question. Who is wise? Think about that. Who is wise? And he gives the answer. Who is wise? He will observe these things and discern. And will discern the loving kindnesses, that's plural, of the Lord. This is so important, beloved. You can't have thanksgiving, not real thanksgiving, unless you see how loving the Lord is. And that's what this psalm is all about. It's one of my favorite psalms in all the Bible. Because like nowhere else, so crisply, so concisely, the psalmist is putting on display how it is that in the midst of a world filled with evil, trouble, and distress, the Lord is showing crystal clear how good He is and how His mercy endures forever. It isn't until times of distress that men call out to Him for salvation. And because of that, the Lord in His grace brings the distress. Who is it that commanded the waves to rise? Verse 25, He commands and raises the stormy wind. Who caused those lost people in the first example to wander in the wilderness and not be able to find their way? He did. Verse 40, He causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Why? That they might be saved. Our God is a merciful Savior. And this psalm puts that mercy on display. So, what's the so? One word repeated in the first line. Oh. Oh. Verse after verse. Oh, that you would give thanks to God. Oh, that I would give thanks to God. Oh, that together we would be a body of redeemed people who are grateful and who are rejoicing and in whom iniquity shuts its mouth. No more accusing God. Are you hungry for Thanksgiving? I am. Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise and thanks that you are a merciful Savior. According to justice, who could stand? Not one of us. But in your grace, you sent Jesus Christ into this world filled with sin and trouble. And Christ took upon himself the punishment that we all deserve for our sins. And because of that, you save men in the midst of their distress when they're drawing near death. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For that we give you praise and thanks. In Christ's name, amen.